Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Artificial River, The Erie Canal, and The Paradox of Progress, 1807 to 1862, by Carol Sheriff, examines one of the most celebrated infrastructure projects in United States history and asks readers to look past triumphal legends. Rather than treating the Erie Canal only as a bold engineering feat that linked the Hudson River to the Great Lakes, Sheriff explores how canal building reshaped politics, labor, community life, and the environment across New York State. The narrative follows the canal from the early push for construction through decades of operation, expansion, and competition, showing how promises of universal prosperity often collided with unequal burdens and unexpected consequences. By focusing on ordinary people as well as policymakers, the book highlights conflicts over funding, land, work discipline, and public order. It also shows how the canal helped accelerate market integration and social change, while generating new forms of risk and disruption. The result is a grounded history of progress that remains morally and politically complex. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, building a statewide vision of improvement, Sheriff presents the Erie Canal as a political and cultural project as much as an engineering one. Advocates frame the canal as a route to prosperity, national influence, and regional unity, arguing that a waterway across New York would reposition the state as a commercial gateway between the Atlantic world and the interior. The book emphasizes how this vision depended on persuasion. Leaders had to sell taxpayers on large public expenditures, overcome skepticism about feasibility, and translate grand economic forecasts into an appealing story of shared advancement. Sheriff also explores how canal politics intersected with party rivalry, patronage, and debates about the proper role of government. The canal became a test case for internal improvements and public finance, with supporters and critics sparring over debt, corruption, and who would ultimately gain from the project. By tracing the messy process of mobilizing consent, Sheriff shows that progress was not simply discovered through innovation. It was constructed through argument, coalition building, and the management of dissent. The canal's creation thus reveals early American struggles over state capacity, economic development, and democratic accountability. Secondly, labor, discipline, and the human cost of construction. A central theme is the lived experience of the people who dug, blasted, and hauled the canal into existence. Sheriff highlights the intense physical demands of the work and the ways contractors organize labor to meet deadlines and control costs. Canal construction relied on a diverse workforce, including many immigrants, and the book examines how ethnicity, class, and reputation shaped public perceptions of canal workers. Sheriff connects job site realities to wider anxieties about disorder, drinking, violence, and transient labor, showing how communities along the route could view workers as both essential and threatening. The canal also brought new forms of work discipline, where wages, supervision, and contracting practices pushed laborers toward higher productivity while exposing them to injury and unstable employment. Sheriff situates accidents, illness, and hardship within the broader rhetoric of improvement. The same society that praised the canal as a collective achievement could treat its builders as disposable. By following these tensions, the book reveals the paradox that celebrated public works often depend on hidden sacrifices, and that the benefits of economic transformation may be distributed far differently than the burdens of creating it. Thirdly, market revolution and the remaking of local communities. Sheriff explains how the Erie Canal accelerated economic integration and altered everyday life in towns, farms, and emerging cities. Cheaper and faster transportation reshaped what farmers produced, how merchants sourced goods, and where families imagined opportunity. The canal helped certain places boom, turning junctions and ports into commercial centers, while leaving other communities struggling to compete. The book shows that market access was not a neutral gift. It encouraged specialization, debt, and new dependencies on distant prices and credit networks. Sheriff also explores social consequences, population movement increased, new occupations appeared, and traditional rhythms of local exchange shifted toward cash transactions and broader commercial horizons. With these changes came conflict, including debates over morality, public order, and inequality, as prosperity was visible but uneven. Sheriff ties these developments to the notion of progress itself. The canal fostered mobility and growth, yet it also intensified pressures on households and small producers to adapt or fall behind. By tracing community-level transformations, the book demonstrates how infrastructure can reorganize not only trade routes but also values, relationships, and the meaning of security in daily life. Fourthly, nature engineered, environmental change, and unintended consequences. The canal was an attempt to turn geography into a controllable machine, and Sheriff treats environmental change as integral to the story, rather than a footnote. Construction required rerouting water, cutting through terrain, and altering wetlands and river systems, with consequences for drainage, flooding patterns, and local land use. Sheriff emphasizes that people in canal regions lived with constant interaction between built infrastructure and natural forces, including leaks, breaches, ice, and seasonal variability. Maintaining the canal demanded ongoing interventions, reminding readers that technological progress is never complete. It requires continuous labor, funding, and management of ecological realities. The book also shows how environmental impacts intersected with social power. Decisions about where water flowed and whose land was affected could produce disputes, lawsuits, and political resentment, particularly when some property owners benefited from access while others suffered from damage or disruption. By highlighting unintended consequences, Sheriff broadens the canal's meaning. It was not just a line on a map, but a long-term reshaping of landscapes. The canal illustrates how infrastructure can create prosperity while simultaneously introducing new vulnerabilities that communities must learn to absorb. Lastly, from icon to institution, expansion, competition, and changing ideas of progress, Sheriff follows the canal beyond its opening celebration into the decades when it became a managed public institution facing new challenges. As traffic grew, the canal required enlargement, repairs, and administrative systems to handle tolls, policing, and regulation. These practical needs drew the state deeper into questions of governance, including oversight, corruption concerns, and the role of public authority in economic life. The book also situates the canal within a changing transportation landscape as railroads emerged and competition forced recalculations about investment and modernization. Sheriff shows that progress is not a single achievement but a moving target. What once seemed revolutionary could later appear outdated, and new technologies could reorder priorities and winners. The canal's legacy, therefore, includes both durability and displacement. It continued to shape commerce and settlement even as rail lines redirected growth and altered labor and business patterns. By examining these transitions, Sheriff highlights the paradox of improvement narratives that promise permanence. Infrastructure can lock regions into certain paths while also provoking the next wave of disruption. The canal becomes a case study in how societies manage aging achievements amid relentless pressure for the new. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone interested in early United States history, the market revolution, New York State politics, labor history, or the long-term consequences of major infrastructure. It is also valuable for readers who follow contemporary debates about public works, economic development, and who pays for progress. Sheriff's approach benefits a reader's life by sharpening the ability to evaluate big projects beyond slogans. It encourages attention to distribution of gains and losses, to the human labor behind celebrated achievements, and to the environmental and social trade-offs that arrive after the ribbon cutting. Compared to more traditional accounts that treat the Erie Canal mainly as a heroic engineering story, this book is worth buying because it integrates politics, work, community change, and ecological impact into one coherent interpretation. It does not reject the canal's importance. Instead, it explains why its successes were real and why they were complicated. That balanced perspective makes the story more credible and more useful. Readers come away with a richer understanding of how democratic societies justify transformation, how institutions manage unintended consequences, and why progress so often carries contradictions alongside its rewards. If you would like to support Carol Sheriff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.